That was a triple shot of Guided by Voices here on The Rock.
WROC Atlanta.
We were just agreeing during that musical break that those are words you will probably never, ever hear. A triple shot of Guided by Voices.
At least not in such a surly voice.
Yes.
More like a, and that was a triple shot of Guided by Voices.
How do I work and the buttons? I
would have had, I would have been here there faster, but I left my backpack out in the outer office and I was afraid that someone would steal my Belle and Sebastian tapes. And then my sweater was real tight, and I couldn't lift up my arms high enough to open the door, so...
Ah, pirate email radio. That's the best kind.
Yes, yes, yes.
Chris Dokarski, your host.
So, I don't have the CD in front of me. Eric's got it, in fact. Oh. So
we played, we played three tracks, three straight tracks off of their, first big release, their first, Matador release, which was actually, like, their sixth or seventh album, I think. We played Gold Star for Robot Boy, Awful Bliss, and Mincer Ray, which is you couldn't ask for three better songs in a row on an album, really. Those are some really great songs. This whole album, if you don't have Guided by Voices B-1000 on Matador Records, I suggest you go out and pick it up.
That's I could ask for three better songs in a row.
I want Swallowed, and then Machine Head, and then Foolish Games.
The Foolish Games.
Skip back two tracks.
Swallowed. I'll skip back.
Got a machine hand.
Better than real.
Foolish Games.
Are tearing me.
All right, that's
tearing
enough.
Tearing me.
Matt, is there a god? I'm starting to wonder.
I think he's gone for the weekend.
What jail is like improvisational comedy live on tape? Comedy that's made up on the spot. So you are invited to witness the process of creation right here, right in front of you, coming out of the radio.
But not the kind of creation that, you know, led to you.
Yeah. Like the kind of creation that led to everything.
Mommy, how is comedy made? Well, it's really funny stork. Just comes by and drops it off.
Well, when two comedians...
He's humping on this guy. Originally, I think the stork was humping on Jerry Lewis. So they got the stork humping on Jerry Lewis. And he's making all these funny noises. Somebody catches it.
And then a Pollock walks by.
And they go into a bar. It's history after that.
When a setup and a punchline love each other very much.
Nice.
Yes.
They lay down together and...
It's a shame when a relationship between a setup and a punchline goes really bad.
I hate when that happens, especially when you're in mid-joke.
Oh, sure. They start messing with each other.
Even if, I mean, you have all the faith in the world because, you know, things have been going great lately. And
I hate when you find out that one punchline's cheat, not a setup, because your friend tells you a joke and it has the same punchline. You're like, so do you go and tell your joke? You know, your other setup, do you tell them that, you know, that the punchline's been getting around?
I don't know.
Well, like early in a relationship, you know, you see... You know, they're both friends of yours, but you just really see that they're not right for each other. They're really enjoying each other's company, but you know it's going to go rotten down the road. You know, you've got to do some sort of intervention, you know. Like,
sure.
You know, I knew two that got together, you know, three cowboys walk into a bar, was paired up with the punchline, Pollocks! And it just wasn't working out.
Sure, funny.
It was not meant
but,
to be.
You know, does it have any kind of endurance? Oof.
Yeah.
We'll stand the comedic test of time.
It's a rough situation. We stand the comedic test of time, ironically, because we make it up on the spot.
And if I may be so bold, the comedic clock that dictates time in this world.
I don't know if you can be that bold. Let me check the regulations.
No,
page 74, code C says you're not allowed to be that bold.
Damn it.
There's a conversion chart, though. There's a conversion chart on the next page.
Oh, yeah. See, I was using the metric system.
How bold can I be exactly?
42 kilohertz of boldness.
Wait, look up Carrot Top. How bold can he be?
That page is ripped out of the book.
Wait, could you look up one more guy? Can you look up John Larroquette?
Yeah, hang on.
Whoa. He can be pretty damn bold, I would think.
There's... just an infinity symbol.
Ah, see, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I guess we have to kind of send our forms through him first before we can...
We got to work our way up to Larroquettian comedy. Larroquettian?
Larroquetian.
Larroquetian. The word is decreed. It's Larroquetian.
I think that's a technical term.
Anyway, what jail's like live on tape this week? We'll be back live in the studio performing live next week.
Maybe.
So please be there then, but continue to be here.
Yeah, if we feel like it.
For the rest of
now. Something better to do from 10 to 12.
Since we are recording the show on the same day that it's going to be broadcast, though, I want to do a timely little thing. Since it's by now, it's about, 10:45. There's still a little bit of time to rush out to the video stores. And let's face it, you stay up most nights until around 4:30 a.m. just crying and gnashing your teeth. You need something to fill the hours.
Eating shredded wheat.
Yeah. After we leave.
Is that a big depressed kid behavior?
Oh, right in the box? Sure. No frosting.
I've done that. That's terrible. I wasn't depressed. I just didn't have any food.
You're in a bad way when that's going on.
In a bad way. Born under a bad sign. Halloween movies. Stuff that you can rent and watch when What Jail Is Like isn't around.
Woo!
Little Halloween movie review segment.
So what do we call this segment?
Movie reviews.
You gotta, such like, a sincere pick look of pride in my eyes.
Pick up your cues, man. You're up there playing with some shiny stuff. Oh, movie reviews.
All right, first movie, Satan's Cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders. Find this one at finer video stores in town. The fine video store in town.
That's right.
The one fine video store where you can rent things for your entertainment.
Yes.
Where you can rent things for your entertainment. Ah. That's the video store.
We're so smooth. Like, nobody even knew. But they know. They don't know.
But you know.
They know.
Oh, wonderful movie.
Satan's Cheerleaders.
Audio footnote, if you got that, yes, you are among the elite. There's only three of you out there that got that reference.
The others have been killed.
Get out of my footnote. It was so creepy. An audio footnote.
The others have been killed.
That was creepier.
The others have been
killed. Stop it. So Satan's Cheerleaders. What a wonderful film.
Well, I was really freaking disappointed when it wasn't up for the Oscar nomination.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed there was no cheerleader getting it on this. You got a shower scene. All cheerleaders wash each other's backs. We know this.
Seriously.
It's just how it goes.
It's kind of timely that we're talking about this because it's a perfect, almost textbook example of larrikinian comedy.
Is it now?
Yeah. It's actually got a profound lack of larrikinian in it. Which is surprising.
It's got a low larrikinian factor.
Low larrikinian factor, but a high larrikinian comedy factor. He produced the movie, actually, and did a lot of the overseeing and the kind of production stages and the script and the kind of filming of it. So it's really filmed through larrikinian-colored glasses, if you will.
Well, it's filmed in larrikinian vision. Woo! No, Eric, there is no way to put those two words together and make it sound witty.
It was a valiant effort, though.
Larrikinian.
That's pretty good.
Filmed in wide screen. Now you just said screen.
Jump in here anytime you want, Mark.
Satan's Cheerleaders, yeah. Heck of a film. Supplies your cheerleaders. Supplies them naked and clothed and, titillating and full frontal. Supplies a dirty old man who was once a great Hollywood actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Supplies a twist, which you won't believe. I'm just going to go ahead and ruin it for you because it's not really that much of a twist. But, you would think Satan's cheerleaders, these are cheerleaders who get involved. No, these cheerleaders, they kind of want to serve Satan near the end of it, It's like Satan's their buddy.
Oh, yeah. But you know how, a lot of clever movies, they invert the whole thing by, having, this weird thing at the end where the bad guy gets away and so there might be a sequel or, not everything works that great. That's kind of – but, this movie had just a very profound, well-thought-out, pro-Satan kind of message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was all about making Satan win and come off as –
kind of the underdog.
The righteous figure. Rational, logic.
You're pulling for Satan.
Like all the good guys, you're just you got to be stopped. So not bad for...
You and your good ways need to be put an end to.
Not bad for a B-movie.
Yes, you can find that in the horror section at a fine video store in town. Second movie that we're going to look at?
Asylum of Satan.
Asylum of Satan.
Yeah. Remember Asylum of Satan?
Yes, I remember
Cold
Asylum of
Night
Satan.
Cold Night at the Solian
I've seen
Ranch.
Everything.
At the Supernut Complex. Watching Asylum of Satan. Let me tell you, this is a great movie. This is a movie where the hero has his own soundtrack. It's a 70s funk song that just, cuts through the mood, any mood that the movie is built up, because every time he shows up, there's just this, you know.
I highly recommend it. It plays with that very well in that, like, the soundtrack's with him, you know, for a little while, and then he's driving really fast, so he leaves it behind a little bit, but it's still back there, and you can kind of tell it's back there, and then eventually it catches up with him when it's had enough time to. It's really brilliantly put together.
There's some creepy people in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm. It really, you know, points the finger towards creepy people in wheelchairs.
Yeah, there was a...
Puts them on the spot.
Yeah. Makes them answer to their creepy actions.
Puts them under the magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful animatronic, possibly just a guy in a bad mask, as Satan near the end, which was wonderful. And it, just a horribly overwrought... summoning of Satan sequence, which kind of shows the kids, don't summon Satan if you're not the bride of
Satan.
Or
at least don't make a big deal out of it. Well, you know? Right. It's a lot easier than you think, so don't go through all the motions. I got one more movie, at least I have another movie.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw this over the weekend. The Shining of the Cube.
The Shining of the Cube?
Yeah. Starring Jack Nicholson and Christian Slater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shining of the Cube. The skateboarder trapped in a remote mountain.
You would think that's what it would be, right? Well, it starts off. Okay. Actually, what's his name? Christian Slater plays a young Jack Nicholson, right? So Slater,
Jack Nicholson plays an old Christian Slater, then.
There you go.
Nice.
So it was really the role, the movie that was meant to be made, obviously, since Slater came onto the scene. So he starts off as young Slater, and he's a punk kind of skater, Then he starts getting these visions, and he starts, when him and his friends confront the bad skateboard gang, he would make bad things happen to them, make them fall off, make them lose the big tournaments, maybe fall on the half pipe and, break their knees or scrape up their hands, making them ineligible to compete and stuff like that.
I remember seeing that movie and I really thought it was infinitely creepy when he saw the two, the ghosts of the two, dead skate betties holding hands in their big pants.
And it was this vision that kept haunting him throughout the movie.
Skate betties.
So very terrifying kind of images you got throughout.
It sounds like an interesting movie.
Right. So then he gives up the skateboard because, it just symbolizes this life of kind of terror and torment, and just uncontrol, if I can make a word up.
Uncontrol.
Right. So then he gets older, and then the last half of the movie is an older Slater, a Nicholson. Still dealing with these kind of mental problems. And he's actually married one of his skater Betty friends, and they've had a kid together who seems to also share this kind of vision, And so they actually wind up going head-to-head with each other, battling it out with their psychic powers. Until ultimately, there's the gripping end, obviously, which is, I don't know if I should spoil it.
Spoil.
Well... Actually, Al Pacino makes a brief appearance as a cotton candy salesman towards the end at a movie theater. And then the cotton candy goes flying. Jack Nicholson uses his powers and sets the whole thing on fire. There's pig's blood involved. It's really this dramatic, just cinematic kind of...
And it's all done on skateboards.
It's all done on skateboards, which is really
nobody steps off a skateboard
nobody
for
steps
the entire
off
movie?
Through the entire movie.
Wow.
Even after Slater has given up skating, he makes this statement that he's giving up skating for his whole life and continues to be on a skateboard for the rest of his life.
Even during, the graphic, sex scene where the young Slater conceives his son?
Oh, sure. You would be surprised how nimble and kind of flexible these skaters really are.
Wow.
It kind of has that physical demand. And so... you'd be impressed. Pacino and Nicholson on a skateboard. It's really a wonderful thing.
Cool. Well, one Halloween movie that I wanted to see that people can pick up at many video stores in town is Prince of Tides, as long as we're on that Satan tip.
Sure.
Yes, anything with
Personally, I was assigned to go watch this movie so that I could talk about it, and I actually couldn't finish it because I was just horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't sit through the whole thing. I made it through the first 20 minutes. But I've just never seen such an excessive, flagrant amount of gore and violence and blood used on film before, and I couldn't take it.
I'm going to say I've seen Prince of Tides, but I've also seen The Mirror Has Two Faces. I'm going to tell you, the Prince of Tides is a scary movie. It's gross, it's disgusting, full of makeup effects, at least what I think must be makeup effects, that are unparalleled in the world of gore fest. But the mirror has two faces. I mean, I had to get therapy.
Sure.
I mean, that much Barbara Streisand looking like that.
Well, I appreciate you telling me that.
And being a sexual object.
Because I feel like compelled to just push my boundaries, push my limits, you know, with movies and stuff like that and what I can expose myself to. And when I saw Prince of Tides, I thought it was the be-all, end-all of what my stomach and just really my soul could take.
No, you got to see the mirror as two faces. And you need to stop exposing yourself to 12-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll see, that makes sense then.
Yeah, that's going to get you in trouble.
All right. Any other movies that
people
Those are really the four movies that you need to see this season.
So those are some things you can check out at video stores to keep you company during the long, dark night ahead of you.
Gnashing, wailing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Eating shredded wheat.
Wailing your teeth with Graham Nash.
Ask Graham Nash first, though. Please. Get permission. 359-9338 is the phone number that you should not call right now. Because
Nash and Graham Crackers of the Whale.
What Jail Is Like is on tape this week. We improvised it all live, but then put it onto a tape, and it is being played back in the studio while we are not present. So, thank you very much for listening. Stick around, because we've got some more What Jail Is Like coming up.
This is about nailing Graham Nash.
I said wailing on Graham Nash.
Yikes. The nail. But in the meantime, here's some Stereolab.